You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I met this fiance, Nia Long, and you know, she was nice and pretty and
Tell me, Ime brought it up, and you didn't say so. Where's your fiance at? Where's she at? You didn't drop that line, did you?
I did not. Ime grabbed my hand. He grabbed my hand and said, "Let me introduce you to my wife."
You said, "Bet."
And I said, "I did like you." I said, "Bet. Let's do it." And let me do like you were saying. Let me beat your sweat. Let's do this, okay? Let's do this.
The big girls love that. Chicks love the last shot opportunity. Somebody give me a napkin so I can wipe my mouth.
Back with another episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast. I am Joe Pavone. He is, of course, Cedric Maxwell. He's pulling up from the airport right now from Logan Airport, but we're squeezing this episode in before he goes, Max. Right? I mean, we got a lot to talk about. You got Jason Tatum headed to the Olympics. You got Celtics fans going crazy because of that picture that is floating around of him and Bradley Beal. That's got all the fans excited. This match made in heaven, in basketball heaven, if you will. I mean, you got to give it to him, man. Two guys from St. Louis playing on the same U.S. team. I mean, you don't see that so often, which, of course, they're celebrating. This is one heck of a moment for those two. But in terms of someone like Bradley Beal seriously considering going to Boston, like, is that a realistic thing, for, you know, when you think about it? I mean, clearly the Celtics, you know, they could pave the way if they want to, right? Whether it's continuing to save money and not re-sign guys, but if that's a target for next summer, Max, let me ask you this. You know, is it wise for the Celtics to sort of put all their eggs into this basket, so to speak? Or is there a way for Brad Stevens to sort of do a little bit of both, right? Stay competitive and, of course, you know, try to keep that cap as minimal as possible or try to save as much money?
Well, I think he's done that so far. You think about Kemba moving that contract on, getting Al's contract back. You know, one washes out the other, but there was another year on Kemba's contract. So you've already saved money in that position. Who do you really want? And people have been asking me over and over, you know, well, who do you think is recruiting better? Do you think with Beal recruiting Tatum or Tatum recruiting Beal? Well, who has the better platform? The better platform would be in Boston. So if Tatum was recruiting Beal to come here, I think it would go that way instead of Beal recruiting Tatum going to D.C.
Is that a championship team? Like, looking ahead here, if hypothetically, if those three get together, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Bradley Beal, is that a foregone conclusion that core can win a championship?
What do you see? What you see in there is a bunch of offense. Have you said anything defensively yet? I don't think you said anything about any one of those guys who are going to kill you defensively. And at the end of the day, you have to have those people who are going to step up defensively. Al Horford brings in a certain amount of defense and offense at the same time. That's what the Celtics have to get, somebody who is defensively minded and offensively who is just a juggernaut. M.A. saying, you know, hey, I got two pillars, two guys who I can go to. But at the same time, I'll ask you, you tell me the contrast between those two players that we're talking about, Brown and Tatum. What is the contrast?
One plays a little more.
I tell you what, for you, one is dark skin and one is light skin. One's dark skin and one's light skin.
You always put it that way.
I can say that, okay? We can say that's one of many.
Boston Celtics fans are pretty happy at the end of this week because familiar faces coming back. That's Al Horford, traded from the Oklahoma City Thunder in exchange for Kemba Walker. This year's number 16th pick, of course, in the first round. And the Celtics, in return, are also getting Al and getting Moses Brown. which I think is a good deal for the Celtics right now. A good first step in the right direction from the new Celtics president of basketball operations, Brad Stevens. But, Max, what do you think? What do you think about this deal? I mean, to bring back Al, we knew what Al was before, you know, when he was in Boston. But now he comes back into a new team, a new situation here. How do you feel about it?
Well, you know, you're not getting the same Al. This is an older player now. But I think he's still very serviceable. What you wanted to do, set picks, you know, locker room presence, I think is good. He can extend the floor by shooting the jump shot. And the best thing I like about Al is he can defend the basketball. So if you can get that from Al, then, you know, you can get 25, 30 minutes a game. You know, I would absolutely love that.
I mean, I just think it's a culture move, right? I mean, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when the Celtics season came to an end. Like, they need to change the culture. And I think when it comes to playing hard-nosed defense and putting forth the right effort that we know this team can put forth, we saw it in stretches. We just didn't see it consistently throughout the course of the regular season. And then you're going to see a different team. I think Al is that kind of guy who can put forth the right message, but make sure everyone is holding themselves accountable in the defensive end.
Nah. I'm not really buying that. I think
that's who he was, Max. He was that before. He's going to be the same guy now. Well, maybe the numbers won't be the same.
No,
but it's not about necessarily the numbers here.
Al did not hold people accountable. And that's one thing I talked about, Al, and the fact that he should have been maybe in that position, being a guy who was a leader on this team, who was a star on this team, holding guys more accountable. You know, his voice was not heard. Al came to me several times, Max, what should I do? I said, Al, you need to talk to these guys. And so, Al, I hope that Al's able to do that. He has the respect to do that. But will he do that? I think that's a whole nother thing. And now that you have a new coach, will that coach insist that Al is able to do that?
I don't think he's the kind of guy that gets in people's faces. But when he leads by example, when he's anchoring the defense on a night-in and night-out basis, I think it resonates, Max. That kind of approach is not only something that everyone wants to see and leads by example, you know, everyone's going to follow, but it's almost like someone like Robert Williams is never going to forget Al Horford. I mean, he talked about that at Media Day before the start of the season, how he was a mentor to him, how, you know, behind closed doors, that was a guy that made sure that he was always doing all right. You know, obviously when he was drafted, all the time, Lord Jones, I mean, he got that nickname for the wrong reasons, right? And Al Horford immediately stepped in there and was a mentor to him. So now you see him 2 years later. Obviously, Robert Williams is a much better player at this point. But at least you have Al to help him through these stages here, through this crucial season, especially this crucial offseason, you know, this transition into essentially a new era, right? A new head coach is going to come in here sooner or later. And if you ask me, I think someone like Jason Tatum probably had a say in this, or at least if he was asked about it, said, you know what? Yeah, I would love to see Al back in the scene. You know, he's another guy who said that the media day after Al Horford left, he was like, man, Al Horford's one of my favorite teammates. You know, that was a young Jason Tatum. We're 2 years removed from that, but I would love to see what happens, how he can make him a better player, of course, and the rest of the team.
Well, you and I are going to agree to disagree. I think Al is going to be good for this team. But I think when it comes to being vocal and leading by example, Al will do that. But this team also needs one of these guys, a veteran guy, who's going to get in somebody's face and be vocal and be that guy who's going, damn it, we ain't going to take this. And that's not who Al is as a player. And I respect that. So I don't look for Al to come in and grab people by the throats and say, this is what we're going to do. But if he leads by example, I will be satisfied with that.
It's that time of the year again, and all eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron and ready to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor contest open now at BetOnline. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage, make a bet, and if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up and using the promo NFL100. That's right, all you new customers out there, sign up, use the promo code NFL100. And win big money today.
Well, let me ask you this, Max. Did Brad pull the trigger too quickly here? I mean, do you think that he could have shopped Kemba around a little more? Could he have gotten a better deal than what we're seeing right now? Because some people are saying, well, maybe that Al offer know, maybe that package deal could have been waiting for you a week or two later down the road. Maybe that was something you do when all the other ones, you know, all the other deals you try to put together strike out.
Too many things going on right now. Take the first thing that's coming. I mean, you're able to unload that contract with Kimba. You've done that. Now you've gotten a pretty good big piece coming back in Al, who can defend the basketball. So why wait? You're talking about let's wait to do this, let's wait to do that. And that was one of the complaints that everybody had about Danny Ainge. Oh, right. Danny has all these draft picks. He's not using them. He's not. Well, Brad Stevens came in and immediately used some leverage and went in and made a deal. And for the most part, I think people are happy about it. You know, I'm probably sure Kimba's not happy about it because he loved his team. He loved this organization. And let's say this about him. Perfect player. Perfect gentleman. It did not work out for him physically because Kimba started to wane with his body, not being able to play every day and not give a contribution like that. But I enjoyed Kimba as a player. I enjoyed him as a person. And what he did for this team, I think you can't measure it in words.
Right. And I also feel like the fact that the Celtics obviously were a 500 team last year, Aldridge is sort of in that category or that in that space of people who are thinking, well, you're supposed to do something big here, right? You know, you got bounced out of the first round, so where's that big move or at least a couple of them? But I'm like, man, we talked about it briefly. Dennis Schroeder, I think that's a very underrated move by Brad Stevens.
Yeah, well, Schroeder.
I think that saved this offseason.
Schroeder is the underrated move. You think about it. He was a $84 million player, and you got him for $6 million. So that in itself is a bargain. I think if you look at Evan Fournier, who left here, I think that the Celtics did not want to pay him 20. I think they solidified some of their young talent. Marcus Smart is in play. And I think you start looking at those contracts. As much as I would not want them to trade Marcus, I think the contract lines up where it is a trade-friendly contract. If, in fact, you wanted to move him, Rob Williams, you have your core unit of guys right now who are under contract for extended period of time, and I do like that about the Celtics.
Yeah, I think that's the part that he sort of overlooked here. I mean, again, when you're covering this team from Boston, it's a different perspective because we knew how important it was to lock in someone like Marcus Smart heading into the regular season, right?
Well,
I mean, he didn't know where he stands with the organization.
Well, a lot of people didn't like Marcus. I think that was the biggest thing. There are a lot of people who felt that his value was inflated, that he was a, you know, and people didn't look at actually his numbers last year. You know, he had career high numbers in so many different areas. I think scoring the basketball, his field goal percentage from the 3-point line was about 36, almost 38%. So league average. So I think that, you know, he was underrated, and I think that is a quality move that you get back in the fold that people don't talk about. And on top of that, the people that you brought back, you know, I love the fact that Al Horford's back, you know, Cantor, who I've always loved as a rebounder, he comes back. So he solidifies the bigs. And then you still have Warren. You have guards, which you might want to try to move around. And this thing probably, you know, people say right now, it isn't over until it's over.
Oh, so you're waiting for another move here, huh? Are you saying you just can't wait to see how they play?
Do you think that Dunn, who is a very good, who was a standout player, and he's with your lineup, but look at the numbers right now. Where is he when you think about your guards? I mean, because you said if Marcus is a starter, are you going to have Schroeder as a starter? Are you going to have, are you going to hand the ball over to Pritchard, let him be a starter as a guard in his second year in the league? So I think there are a lot of questions out there about what this team can and will and won't do.
Were you surprised by the extension of Robert Williams and Josh Richardson? I mean, you know, we've talked about Robert Williams and how valuable that player is, of course, when he's healthy. But are you surprised Brad Stevens went ahead and gave him a 4-year extension before the start of this season?
I think that Brad just wanted to top all the loose ends. You know, you see players who go into their lame duck years and they put a lot of pressure on themselves. So what he did, he took the pressure off of a young player and allows him to get out and just get out and play.
$54 million, that's not a bad price, right? You know?
No.
For that extension more years?
Yeah. In the NBA now, $54 million is a bargain, for some of these guys. You think about it, because you look at the top tier players. You know, they're asking for $50 million a year. So for you to get a guy for 4 years or how many years, that those numbers are numbers that eventually could look really good. I remember when Avery Bradley signed his contract for, it was $6 million or something. And everybody's like, oh, you're crazy.
People
you're
lost crazy. Their mind. Yeah, I remember that.
And then all of a sudden you looked at that particular contract and you're going, man, that was a cheap bargain based contract for what Avery Bradley was and could do.
All right, we're going to play a game before we wrap up this episode. It's called the bag and the mini bag. I'm going to give you a player who got the bag, and you're going to tell me if it was a good idea or a bad idea for the team to do that. And then I'm going to give you a player who got the mini bag, and you're going to tell me if it was a good idea or a bad idea.
Okay. If it's worth it. All right.
All right? Let's start big. Let's start with the biggest bag of them all this summer. Joel Embiid. He got himself a 5-year extension, Supermax. $147 million max.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good idea or bad idea for the 76ers to give him all that money? What do you think?
No, great idea. I think if you look at his production here in the last 3-4 years, he's been one of the top players right now in the Eastern Conference. And you think about it, when they played Toronto, he was a shot away from going to the finals.
Yeah, so he was.
I think that's an easy catch right now. You know, of baggage. That's what I'll use baggage for Joel Embiid. I think that was a good choice.
After dealing with Ben Simmons and all that whole fiasco, I mean, you got to lock in somebody, right?
Yeah.
You got to make sure your top dog is happy and satisfied.
Yeah, your big dog is happy.
Keep him happy.
Healthy. Yeah, keep him happy and make sure he always wants to come home.
Kemba Walker, going back home. The BX native is heading back to New York. 2 years. $17.8 million for the max guy, who the Celtics signed 2 years ago. Max, good idea, bad idea for the New York Knicks?
I'm up in the air, and I'm up in the air because I think he's a great player, but I think that their expectation level of Kemba is cardiac Kemba. You know, Madison Square Garden, Big East, step back, moving really, really quick. I don't know if he still has that quickness and explosive ability anymore to create as many shots and to get players confused out there when they're guarding him. So I'm just, I don't know. My bag has a hole in it. I'll just say that.
It's just tough because all of this is out of his control. Obviously, his health concerns has everything to do with this. He can't help himself, but if I'm the New York Knicks, I'm gonna say this is a good idea. I'm gonna say the investment is worth it because he's a hometown boy. He got the hometown discount, literally. I can't think of a better example of a hometown discount in the NBA right now. And it's like show me what you got. You know, 2-year deal.
Well, I think that you're on to something when it comes to that, but I think the other thing, Josue, is the fact that when you go home, you back home, you have more distractions because he's from New York. He's from the city. So there's going to be more people knocking on his door, taking him away from what he really needs to do is to rehab and get that knee as strong as possible. And I'm not sure he'll be able to get it as strong as it needs to be to get back to that tremendous foot speed that Kemba Walker has had.
Let's keep it in the tri-state. Let's talk about his teammate, the former Celtic, Evan Fournier. He got himself a big bag. You got a bigger bag than Kemba Walker's on right now, of course. But
well, I like
4 years, $73 million max. Yeah. Good idea or bad idea by the New York Knicks?
I like that. Final. I like it with the Knicks, but I've just seen so many times that the city grinds you down, and the expectation of guys coming there, Amari Stoudemire coming there, and people said, "Oh my God, he's coming to New York, and they're going to be great." And not so much. Carmelo comes there. They had a good run, but still wasn't the Carmelo that was taking them to the Eastern Conference Finals or to the NBA Finals. So it's a very tough city to play in.
It's one of those things where if you're the New York Knicks, it's like if you don't spend it, you're going to lose it. And Evan Fournier just made the most sense, right? So I guess I'm going to say it's a good idea, you know?
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
I'm not if you told me I had to make a choice, I would say it would be a good idea.
Agreed. All right, let's head back home. Let's head back home, Max. Let's head back to Boston. Dennis Schroeder, best contract in the league, if you ask me. $5.8 million, 1 year. Yep, you guessed it. This ain't the big bag. It is not the big bag. But Max, is it a good idea for the Boston Celtics?
Oh yeah, to get a player who was reportedly worth $84 million, and you get him off the junkyard for $6 million.
All right. Well, let me.
He's still a young, productive player. Yeah.
Let me add a caveat here to this, right? Because there's a report indicating that problems last season with the Los Angeles Lakers had a lot to do with him. You know, without mentioning names, there was a report stating that he was a bit selfish and that he was a bit of a locker room problem. And that,
come on, man, LeBron. We know LeBron runs that camp. LeBron and AD, that's their basketball
club. I was thinking it.
I can't see an ancillary player coming in and being that disruptive to the Lakers system. I mean, come on, Lakers. Don't try to sell me that bit of goods. I mean, you lost, your team beat your ass, and now all of a sudden you're trying to kick Schroeder under the bus as if he was that piece. They did not have jump shooters. There were a lot of guys. How about there were a lot of times we saw LeBron James not get back on the defensive end. Or we would call Anthony Davis, I love Charles Barkley's name, street clothes. You know, he wasn't available to play. So that's just not blame Dennis Schroeder for all that.
Agreed. And even if there's a little truth to that, I'm going to go with the guy who wants to prove to the entire NBA that he's a max guy. Give me that guy. And then on top of that, the guy who used to idolize Rajon Rondo when him and the gang were competing for championships. Yeah, I'll take my money on that guy. For that team-friendly contract, 1,000% for sure. That's worth it.
Yeah.
All right, last one. Last but not least. Let's keep it in L.A., right? Carmelo Anthony, mini bag. 1 year, $2.6
million. Yeah.
Good idea, bad idea for the Lakers?
That's a great idea for the Lakers. You're getting somebody like that for $2.6 million. The thing I wonder about out loud is, how can you live off of $2.6 million living in Los Angeles and being a professional basketball player?
I think that's kind of crazy.
You're getting them at a bargain basis price, but we know a lot of times players count numbers or they look at somebody else making money and there gets to be some people who are envious. So hopefully that won't be the case.
Do you see turmoil happening in L.A. with the Lakers? I mean, this IG post from LeBron James working out with Russell Westbrook, and he's, you know, sarcastically saying, oh, these guys, I don't know if they're going to get along. You know, these guys, they're trouble. You know, obviously playing to the narrative that Russell Westbrook may not be the best guy for this team. How do you react to that? What's your opinion on that, at least, from LeBron James to say that? And, of course, that narrative that Russell Westbrook may not be the best option for these three.
You know, it's really strange because if you think of it, he isn't the puzzle piece that you look at when you have a missing piece of a puzzle, because he has jagged edges, he has turns, he has twists, and it just doesn't seem like that piece fits. But what we know about him, and I've heard people say, is just his energy level. And he can't wait to get it done. And he's so enthusiastic about his team that he's going to maybe get some infusion of just playing the game to Anthony Davis, to LeBron James. So there are a lot of good things about this.
Yeah, definitely. I can't wait to see it all pan out, Max. You know, we'll see which Western Conference teams gives them the biggest fight, but
you're so right. I mean, because this could ultimately be a train wreck happening. But you have all these guys under contract for extended period of time, and what you needed from these guys, the guy coming in, you needed more outside shooting. Westbrook is an outside jump shooter, so I don't think that you have. I don't want to say. Finished off your dream by having Westbrook, who's not a shooter.
It's a work in progress for sure. Mm-hmm. You could say the same thing about the Celtics too. I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and be like, oh, right after the Brooklyn Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks, you know, put the Celtics in there. But I'll tell you this much: they're gonna be. I think they're a team that's gonna be fighting for playoff for home court in the playoffs. You know, and if that's the case, then that's a good place to be in right now. You know, coming off that 500 season.
Yeah, I mean, they're a team that has a lot to prove, and because of that, having a 500 season, your coach leaving, changing the roster, giving the keys to other people. Yeah, I think it's going to be a challenge, but I think a challenge that players will happily accept.
Absolutely, that's exactly what Brad Stevens had to say during his segment as part of the WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Telethon. He talked briefly about the offseason and saying, look, I'm not going to put a ceiling on this team. I just tell you this much, though. I like the position we're in, and I really like the chances to be a great team out there with the brand-new coach in Ime Udoka. So,
well, I think that Brad is going to – what else could he say? He wasn't going to say, well, Ime is horrible and the players we got are horrible. Everybody looks at their team as a playoff contender, maybe not a championship team, but a playoff contender. And I think that's the way you look at Celtics having as much talent as they have on their bench right now.
Definitely. Absolutely, Max. Man, we're like, what are we, over a – we got still a month to go until we get some preseason basketball. So we still got ways to go. But in the meantime, Max, you cool out there in North Carolina. Enjoy the fam. I'll go down the fort, and we'll check back in next week, all right? You know,
for a brand new episode. Take it easy.
All right, man. That's been this episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast. Of course, you already know, subscribe on iTunes or any other platform where you listen to your podcast. You can find us, of course, the Cedric Maxwell Podcast every week. And, of course, you can catch up on all the other episodes that we've dropped. And video version, we'll be back. YouTube, CLNS Media, guys. We'll see you next week.